St. John, chapter 20. This is the resurrection day, resurrection story. We read it this morning in our responsive readings. And the thing, I guess, that the past 3 weeks has ministered to me the most is that I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know I'm spoiled. I'm a spoiled American, but I know there's no place like North Georgia. Dr. Cash has been telling me that for years, but there is no place like North Georgia. There's no place like America. It's good to go. You feel that you're in the Lord's divine will. You're fulfilling the prophetic utterances that have been spoken over your life. But it's better to come home and be with the people that you love and that you know love you. It's amazing. I was awestruck twice. Once I couldn't even talk because of the awesomeness that I felt of the Spirit. I was crying to realize that our assembly right here in a city of 8,000 or 10,000 people is accomplishing what it's accomplishing and ministering to other nations. I literally got to minister to 2 nations in the past 3 weeks. Now, I don't know how that strikes you. That's an awesome thought to me. And it boggled my mind. So I'll be showing you a little bit on the video in just a second, but I want to read this verse. And then I've got a few points that I'm just going to talk about rapidly. And then show you the video. And I hope you hear my heart. I hope you hear what God has done in me. I'm not the same. It's been another wall that God has taken me through. You know, when you walk through a wall, not through a door, through a wall. When you walk through a wall, you come out on the other side, you're a little changed. Your configuration is different. I mean, if you walk through that wall right there, you come out on the other side, you're going to look a little different. And that's kind of what's happened. When the Lord deals with me, He takes me through a wall. There's no way to get around it or over it, you got to go through it. And so these past 3 weeks have been going through a wall for me, and they've literally changed my life. I'm not the same. Some of you will be wanting me to go back. Quickly, go back. Or go somewhere. Because I've just seen some things, and I've experienced some things. I'm different. John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so, as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she beheld 2 angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet. The body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And that's kind of what I want to emphasize as I'm sharing with you today. Americans, why in God's heaven are we weeping? Why are we weeping? She said to them, "Because they had taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and beheld Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, let's all say it together, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Say that with me. "Woman, why are you weeping?" Now, who is the woman in Scriptures? Who is the fulfillment? The church. Everybody say, the church is the woman. The church is the woman. He will present unto himself a spotless bride without spot or wrinkle. That's the church. Church, why are we weeping? How many knows we really don't have anything to weep about? Is Jesus Lord? Either He is or He isn't. And He is. And He's either blessing us or He's not. And He is. And we have no reason to weep. What we should do is rejoice. Am I right? If He's your Lord and Savior, I'm so tired of seeing Christians baptized in pickle juice. Amen. I have been in a place where they came to church at 7 o'clock. Church started at 7 o'clock in the morning. The reason is because in the building that they had church got to 115 degrees in the afternoon. By 12 o'clock, it's 115 degrees in there.
People are walking to church at 6:30 in the morning, a.m. And they're rejoicing. They're sweating, but they're rejoicing. And many of us have a hard time getting here at 10, don't we? In an air-conditioned, padded chair, your own chair, your very own, you sit there every week, your own chair. These sit on benches or boards or anything. 6:30 in the morning. Why are we weeping? Jesus said to her, verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary, she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Verse 19. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. How many see, first of all, that the angels say, church, why do you weep? See that? And then the Lord himself says, church, why do you weep? And then he says, peace be with you. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's what the church should really have all the time. If we could display that to the world, if we could display that to the world, every church would be so full. You know what we do though? We compete. Pastors compete. Churches compete. And we try to do our programs and do our things so that more people will come to our church. You know, we'll get more of their people at our church. How many knows there's enough centers in Lafayette, Georgia for all the churches to have 1,000 people? Peace be with you, verse 20. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Ghost. I want us to hear that it's important to the Lord that once we have seen his hands, the ways of his doing things, the way that the Lord does things, once we've experienced him in our lives, once we've seen his hands, and once we've seen his side, we've experienced his blood, we're cleansed by it, we've experienced the Eve experience that we have been transformed, we have been made a new beginning, a new birth, we've come into the church which is his bride, we become the Eve of Christ. When we've experienced that, then the next thing that he says is, I want you to go. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. That's what we're talking about today, is just being sent of the Lord. How many of you believe there's a purpose in your life? There's a purpose that God saved you for, and it was more than to come in this air-conditioned building where you're probably cold right now. Pretty green carpet. Nice walls with a lot of pretty molding on it. We're going to watch a beautiful drama tonight. How many of you know, though, that there's more to your experience in Christ Jesus than coming here on Sundays? Do you know that? As the Father sent Christ, he says, so send I you. It may be at your workplace. It may be at your home. It may be going to a nation. But wherever that he has sent you, wherever that you're at right now, there is something for you to do for the kingdom of God. It is to experience righteousness, peace, and joy. It is to not express worry and discontentment. It is to experience the joy of the kingdom of God and to proclaim that and share that with the people of the Lord. Now, I want to talk just a few seconds about my Trinidad and Tobago trip and my Barbados trip. It wasn't what I expected. In some ways, it was different. And in some ways, I remember a prophecy that Randy Adler prophesied over my life. He said, son, he says, you thought you went up there. And he's talking about when I came to Lafayette. He says, you thought you went up there to help the people. He says, but what I really did is I sent you up there to make the man of God. And I felt like when I went over there that I was going over there to help the people. But I found out again that the Lord is just making the man of God. That he is making me into something that will really help the kingdom of God. I've learned who I am
The Lord did not spend much time showing me the powers and principalities over the nation, particularly Trinidad and Tobago. It was a spirit of being Lord. Everybody wants to be Lord. Nobody wants to serve. I'll give you an example. On Saturday night, about 9 o'clock that night, they told us that we would be going to churches. There was a team of four pastors that went, plus four from CI Ministries. We was going out to the nation in eight different churches. We were all going out. They told us that where we would be going, and the guy that would pick me up. Now, they started at 7 o'clock, had to pick me up at 6 o'clock in the morning. It means I had to get up at 5 o'clock, get ready, picked me up. The man had a low tire that picked me up, had a low tire. His air was low on one of his tires. We're riding down the road. He says, I need to pull off and get some air. We pulled off, went into what was called a service station. Pulled up. He says, where's your air hose? He says, the air pump's not on yet. He says, well, what time will you turn it on? It's 6:45. He says, what time will you turn it on? He says, 7 o'clock. He says, well, where can I get some air at? He says, try down the road. We drive down to the next service station. Where's your air hose? He says, the pump's not on yet. It's 6:50. What time will you turn it on? 7 o'clock. They would not serve even their own people. The man that picked me up was a Trinidadian, and they would not even turn the air pump on to give him air. Would not serve him. We'd go to restaurants to eat. They would be doing you a favor when they come to take your order and finally got your food back to you. We never went where it was less than an hour before we got our food. There is no attitude of servanthood there. Everybody's master. Everybody's Lord. Saw that real quickly. How many knows what Jesus said about that? He that is greatest in the kingdom of God must what? Be servant of all. Everybody wants to be Lord. And this is true in America as well, but it's just not as powerful. In America, I was thinking about this. Lance went someplace a while back, and the preacher that was there says, how many of you want a new job? How many of you want a better job? Boy, and everybody just raised their hand. Yes, yes, yes. Well, let me tell you the secret of getting a better job. Serving the one you got. There's more to it than naming it and claiming it. There's more to it than blabbing it and grabbing it. That's part of it. But how many knows you've got to serve? This nation has no comprehension of servanthood. So I went to the church and I ministered about servanthood. And ministered to the people, that blessed them, opened up the things about the temple the Lord had showed us, and just really began to minister to them. The pastor let me go, and I started like at 7:30, and I was done by, I didn't preach long, 8 o'clock or so. We were through preaching because the emphasis was the prophetic. So I started prophesying to people, calling them out in the congregation, bringing them up, laying hands on them. He told me to stop at 10 o'clock. I stopped at 10 o'clock. He says, go 30 more minutes. I went 30 more minutes. I was tired, so I quit. So I sat down, and the pastor was appreciative of it. And then he says, well, somebody escort Pastor Young to the back door. I says, am I leaving? He says, no, you're just going to go back there and greet the people. Now, I knew that was the wrong thing to do. This church had about 200 people in it. I go to the back door, and I stand there, and they line up. I'm there till 12:30, praying and prophesying to people. They are so hungry. They are so hungry for the Word of God. They are so hungry for the touch of God in their life. I saw immediately how spoiled we are. If I go past 12 o'clock, and if I start at 22, you say, he'll never get done by 12. There's such a hunger there for the Word of God, for the things of God. They come at 6:30 in the morning. Now, their teaching is not as high as ours, but their praise and their worship, they need to come teach us, our church, how to praise and worship. And that's not putting us down. How many would like to go higher in our praise and worship? Would you like to? Sure you would. See, something inside of you wants to praise Him with all of your might. Something inside of you. But the person to your right or the person to your left or the person behind you or in front of you hinders you. Turn to that person and say, you hinder me. Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell them. Tell them. Go ahead. Tell somebody, you hinder me. Now tell them, I hinder you. Tell them. Go ahead. I hinder you. We've got to stop doing that. We have got to release ourselves and go on with God. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, we can have a nice little church here, a couple hundred people. Probably from now until the Lord comes. Probably can. But folks, I don't want that. We have our pretty colors, our pretty building. I can come in here with my robe, my collar. And I thank God that I have the liberty that I can or can't do those things. But folks, that is not what we're here to do. We come here on Sunday mornings to rejoice, to praise Him, to worship Him. Some of you have a psalm, some of you have a hymn, some of you have a spiritual song, some of you have a revelation. Folks, it's time. It really is time. We really get going on with the Lord, shaking ourselves out of the comfort zones that we build around ourselves and going on. Even so as the Father sent Him, so He says, I send you. How many of you know that we really do need to go on and accomplish what God's called us to do? Amen? It's time to get out of this building. I'm ready for a bigger one. It was a prophetic conference. It wasn't a mission trip. I think a lot of people think that we were going over there to save souls. No, we were going over there to water. In Trinidad, it was a place that had already been planted, plowed and planted. We were watering there, and it was very easy ministry. But in Barbados, it was totally opposite. We had to plow and plant. And so in Barbados, it was tougher, but it was still good. It was very successful. In Barbados, I ministered at two different churches. Went and I preached and prophesied and all. And it was the same story. They were a little hesitant because they didn't know exactly what to expect. But they're good and they're hungry for the things of God. And God's opened us a door. We prophesied on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. The first conference had about 650 people in it. And we would go, and you'll see on the video where they released us and we would come up on the platform and call people out. And you really got to trust the Lord when you're calling someone out that you've never seen in your life, you didn't know existed on the world, and you come up and you call them out and you give them a prophetic word. We did this, and then we had to minister over all the pastors that were there, which were several. Every day we had to minister. So probably myself, I'm not talking about the team, but myself, just me, without being exaggerative, I probably prophesied to over 200 people, and it's probably closer to 300. Just me. Now, what I'm wanting you to hear is that this church got to minister to that many people in another nation. That's what I want you to hear. I want you to hear God is using the church at Lafayette to do a much bigger thing than we can really see. They worked as hard. The meetings in the first conference was air conditioned, but the air conditioning couldn't handle it. It was 100 and something degrees outside. It was probably 200 inside. And you get all those bodies hopping and leaping and praising God, and you'll see that they did that. A lot of body heat was given. And we would sit and we would sweat. And I lost weight. It wasn't because I was fasting. It's because I was sweating. And I'm not a big sweater. But I came home one night, and literally, this was an hour or so after the service was over, I came home and I had a t-shirt on and, of course, underclothing. But my clothes, my outside clothes were wet, just soaking wet from the sweat. Yet, you had to stop the meetings. One night we were there till after 12 o'clock, just meeting and praying and ministering to people and worshiping and rejoicing. There's such a hunger. And I guess that's what spoke to me. And I cried and I wept. And I thank the Lord for allowing me the opportunity and the privilege to do what He was allowing me to do. And I thank you from the very depths and the bottom of my heart for letting me go and experience that. I really can't relate it to you. There's no church on the earth like this church. I've been to a lot of them. And we do a lot of it. And I tried to express to those churches all that we do. They're very charismatic in their worship. That's all they are. There's none of the other spectrum. I want to embrace all of Christianity. I want it all. And I thank you so much for coming here. I thank you, and I thank the Lord for letting me be your pastor. It was an experience unlike anything I've ever had. We flew to Barbados on Thursday. I was the keynote speaker. I started the thing at 11:30 in the morning. There was around 200 people at this conference. Then we would meet every night. We start at 7 o'clock. So the 11:30 meeting was in a bank, and it was air conditioned. And then we would go to the night services, which was at 7, and there was no air. And that's where we would sweat so badly. We would go and we ministered and we stayed there until we got through. And really, you had to just stop the people. They just wanted to stay. They just wanted to listen. They wanted to be taught. They wanted to be ministered to. They loved to be ministered to. I just wrote down a few things. I just wanted to hit the kind of the high points and just share with you. Bottom note is that it changed my life. Finally got my mind back. I think it was Friday night. My body was here, but my mind was still there. When I would lay in the bed, all I could see was those people. I'd dream. I would get up, and I would be somewhere else. I'd wake up. I wouldn't know where I was. And I think it was about Friday that I don't remember having a dream. But they're itched in my mind. Beautiful people. Barbados is 90% Negro, 10% other. 10% on 90% Barbados. Trinidad, mostly Haitian. Beautiful people. Beautiful skin. Got the skin of Rod and Tanya's kids. Beautiful people. The churches, they served us. They waited on us. And a little boy named David, a little boy, he's 6 foot something. He was my guard. They gave us guards to walk around town with. He was my guard in Trinidad. He would not leave my side. In Barbados, I had my own chauffeur. His name was Wendell. There's pictures of him. You'll see him in just a second. And they loved us. And as much as they honored us, and as much as they cared for us, I was never so glad to get back home in my life. I missed you. I prayed for you, and I know you prayed for me. One night, the services had ended. It was Friday night. I had talked with Judy. It was late. Or was it Friday night? Maybe been Thursday night. I don't remember. I know it was late. I just talked with Judy. I hung the phone up, and the phone rang again. I answered it, and it was Linda Wilkie. Dr. Herman Willison, just saying that to let you know, I missed you. There's nobody like you. I love you. I know who I am in Jesus. He's changed my life. God has opened us a door. They've invited us back anytime we want to go. Next year, CI is going to be doing a bigger conference than this one. What they were asking the pastors to do is bring a team with them, one or two men that have been raised up in the church to help minister. In Barbados, they've asked us to come back anytime we want to. God has opened the door for our little church to do something beyond my comprehension. I want to show you the video, so I'll say this. It was the last day at the big seminar, and it came to its conclusion. And I had already wept and cried at the church that I had been preaching at. Oh, let me tell you a story. It was so funny. We went to an installation service. The pastor's church that I was at on Sunday had me go to an installation service where they were setting in a pastor. He asked me to go with him, so I went with him, and I spent all day with him. And this was a church that was just starting, and it was under a house. And this particular house was built on stilts. It was built up on pillars, and they were meeting under the house because that was where they got some shade. So they were meeting up under the house, and we were under there, and we were singing. And I'll never forget the way they sing. They sing with that dialect. The ladies sing louder than the men. And it's just a real beautiful way that they sing. It really ministered to me. We were in there singing and clapping our hands and praising the Lord. And a chicken runs across the floor. Now, that chicken didn't bother anybody else in that place. There's about 50 or 60 people, I suppose, at this installation service. That chicken had my total attention. The last day of the service, we were there, and it came to its conclusion, and I was crying.
because I just could not believe that I was in Trinidad ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to another nation. I couldn't believe it, that God had allowed me the opportunity and privilege to minister to His people. And I was crying much worse than I am right now. I couldn't talk. And I began to look for Scott, because Scott was the one that called me and asked me if I would go, which was an honor in itself, just to be invited. And I was looking for Scott, because I just wanted to tell him, thank you. I finally found him. And I grabbed him, and I couldn't talk. I just hugged him. And I wanted to stay, you know, but I didn't want to stay. I didn't like it there. But I wanted to minister to the people. It does something to you when people line up and just want you to touch them. Let's play the video. I made the statement that we literally got to minister to nations. You saw on there where they were interviewing me and the other guys for a radio station program. At the seminar that I got to be the keynote speaker at, the lady was so impressed with the foundation stone teaching that she took me and did an interview with me that would be broadcast 3 times to the nation of Barbados. We got to minister again together into a setting onto a radio. And I just want to say again, I have not yet comprehended it. And I don't think our church comprehends it yet, what God really does want to do here. He said to go, didn't he? See that? Did you enjoy the video? Man. Let's stand up. Easter drama tonight at what time? 6 o'clock. Cast will be here at what time? 5 o'clock. I love you so much. There's no place like this place. And I just want to bless you. So I want you to grab a hand next to you, and I would really like us to come together. There'd be no aisles and no division amongst us. As you can tell, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about it. I just tried to hit some of the points, but maybe the video helped you. I don't know, but I'm different, and I'll probably be acting different. But I know that God loves the world. The world is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. And I know that there's a work to do. I don't understand it. I don't know what our part is in it. But my eyes have been opened. I guess you get to the point where all you see is your little world. When you go to something like that, you find out there's more people than those that I know. Let's pray.